I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Watercolor artist Marilyn Bradley's latest book takes a nostalgic journey through local history. Once Upon a Time in St. Louis, an illustrated trip through the past, features famous and even some infamous St. Louis landmarks. Marilyn Bradley, welcome to Cityscape.
Well, thank you.
First of all, your watercolors are beautiful.
Thank you.
But what's really interesting to me is that this book, which features 86 of your watercolors, the fact is that some of them you did as long as 50 years ago. So this has really been a work in progress.
You might say that. When you say it's 50 years in progress, I had more than 86. I might have had maybe 200 paintings.
Uh-huh.
The idea was to decide which ones would be in this book.
Of course, 50 years ago, you probably didn't have this idea that you're going to put this book together, right?
No. My idea was just to record places in St. Louis that supposedly were going to either be torn down or closed. It was my way of preservation.
So most of the images in your book are of places that no longer exist, most of them.
That's right.
Right. Your book also features text by David Bauer. What does he contribute?
Well, David Bauer is an excellent writer. I originally wrote the book. I did all the research on the trivia and everything, and he compiled it into a very nice, maybe two paragraphs for each one, much easier reading.
Uh-huh. Well, it begins, Once Upon a Time in St. Louis, begins at the beginning, I guess is a good way to put it, with Thomas Jefferson and his vision for this area.
Right.
So what did that mean to you?
Well, what I tried to do is I started St. Louis as if the frontier we're going through, and naturally it's going to be Thomas Jefferson for the Louisiana Purchase. I had done some drawings of Thomas Jefferson and also the relief sculpture that's at the Historical Museum of the Louisiana Treaty. So those were two paintings they had done in the past, and I thought that would be a perfect way to start the book.
How would you describe the style of your watercolors?
Probably impressionistic. It becomes more impressionistic as I get older, since I can't see as well as I used to.
Well, it seems to work out well. It's an interesting story there. You began your career, you had intended on becoming more of a technical artist, didn't you?
Yes. My very first job was architectural illustration. Problem was, I didn't have the background for it, so it was on-the-job training. And so I did very well of learning how to do watercolors. I don't think I was well enough. The job lasted only 6 months.
I saw one of your early watercolor works, not in the book, something else that you had done when you just started to, experiment with watercolors. And it did not have that impressionistic feel that you later developed. So you did develop a lot along the way.
Yes, it was learning. If you paint every day, you find out what works for you. And I've gotten to the point where the paint itself is very easy for me. It's just using a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very good draftsman. Usually I don't even draw. I paint right away. And I'm able to...
That's a little unusual, isn't it?
Not necessarily.
No?
There's a way of painting. What I do, which is very unique, is I'll put all the details and the shadows down first, and that starts the composition. And then from there, I'm just laying in all the color.
Mm-hmm. So some of these watercolors are 50 years old. How did you go about putting them all together? And there are 86 in the book, but mm-hmm. you said who knows how many you really have done over the years, right? Hundreds and hundreds.
Yes.
So what was your process in deciding what to include?
Well, it started out, since St. Louis was going to have its 250th birthday, I thought, well, I should do something. And since I had so many paintings that are no longer really here, I thought, well, I could use those in a book on Once Upon a Time. So I started making piles, transportation, architecture, the parks, theaters, restaurants. And that way, that divided everything out. And if nothing fell into those piles, they weren't in the book.
Oh, I see. So that's the way you've divided the book into categories, like mm-hmm. you just mentioned, mm-hmm. right? Well, can we just maybe talk about a few of those? Let's just begin with transportation.
Okay.
And it's kind of in chronological order in some ways, your book. You start with some of the primitive trails. You go to riverboats and the railroad. So talk about that journey.
Well, the railroads, we've always had that, the Union Station. I had to do two steam engines at one time for a client, so I had the paintings of the two steam engines. The river, I have done quite a bit of research on the river. In fact, at one time I did write a book called Down River on a tow from St. Louis to New Orleans. And I had gone on the tow, recorded everything on both sides of the river, except you can't see very much because of the levee, but it was mostly industrial. And I realized just the feel of going down the river, the people who are on the boats. There's, it's a very unique, what would you call it, civilization, you might say, of the people who are willing to be away from actual civilization, would rather be alone.
Off the grid.
It was really unique. And so this was the book that I was going to do. It was supposed to relate mainly to people who liked the river, but there wasn't much of a, what would you call it, a market for that kind of thing. So it sits on a shelf. But I had done lots and lots of paintings of it.
I know that art is a business. To some extent. So what you just referred to, was it a market for it? How does that influence what you do, or does it?
Well, sometimes it does, but sometimes it's just a personal interest. I'll find some kind of a theme and focus on it, and then do as much research as I can on it so that I know about it. If anybody asks me any questions, I can tell them what I'm doing.
Some of your favorite work to me is the watercolors of the 1904 World's Fair.
Yes, to the point that I think I bought almost every book on the World's Fair that was available. I even have an old one of old photographs. At the time of the World's Fair, there were photographers that were taking pictures of everything and putting in photographic albums. A lot of them aren't available too much anymore, but I actually have one of those, and it's wonderful to see a real photograph of that time. So I used many of those of the same subject matter. I think I did about 10 different paintings, the World's Fair, and I had them on exhibit during the birthday in 2004 mm-hmm. as an exhibit.
Another portion of your book deals with St. Louis architecture, which the architecture here is incredible.
Oh, it's fantastic. What's unique about St. Louis architecture is it has copied many things around the world, plus it has a lot of new, unique pieces of architecture that were the first ones, just like the Wainwright, the very first
skyscraper,
building.
Right?
And the reason you can't go any higher at one time is because there wasn't an elevator yet.
I didn't think of that.
It's because of the elevator that buildings could go higher, not necessarily cast iron structures and going beyond wood.
Well, sticking with the architecture part of it, let me just throw a couple out to you, and you can comment on them. You do one of the J.R. Brockman building?
Yes. That was down on the Laclede's Landing. It was one of the very early with the cast iron front. It's torn down now because of, I think they were just docking it down for parking.
Hmm. What about the Hadley Dean Glass Company?
Hadley Dean was a company that made tiles, ceramic tiles for the kitchen, very early ones. And they decided to make the whole first floor as if you were walking into an Egyptian temple.
That's what it looks like.
Yes. Well, most of it's been gone. At one time, Mosaic Restaurant had their restaurant on that part, and they used that. But then they decided they'd want to renovate. So they sold most of that beautiful Art Deco that was in there to some company down in Miami. All that's left of the old Egyptian part is around the elevators.
Since a lot of what you've portrayed in your book, a lot of your work, is of structures and things that are no longer here, some of them were here when you painted them, though,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So, but obviously, like when you were talking about the World's Fair, you were working from photographs. So how do you work? Do you like to work from photographs? Do you like to go down somewhere and set up a easel, you know, down on the riverfront and paint a building? How do you do it?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I like to see where it is, so naturally I'm going to go find it. And if it's not available, then I'll start doing research with photography.
And the Coral Court, speaking of architecture, that's in the architecture segment of your book. And earlier I said that you paint things of famous and infamous landmarks, and that would be the latter, right?
Yes, it would, yeah. But it has other information. The architecture itself is very unique by using the glass bricks on the corner. That hadn't been used before. It was very unique when it was first built because people could actually drive into the garage and go in. They didn't have to worry about weather problems.
Would that have been the 30s or before then?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
That's when we had the Greenlease
kidnapping.
Kidnapping.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
entertainment venues. You look at places where we hear music, where we see theater, and the sports facilities, too.
Right. One of the first ones I think I did was Kiel Auditorium, when it was Kiel Auditorium. I played there. I used to be in the St. Louis Philharmonic.
Really?
So I know the back rooms and so forth in the back, where even the elevators, there weren't regular elevators. You had to pull the rope to go from one floor to the next.
What's interesting, you would think that when some of your work is 50 years old, you've been here a while, I would think, boy, you're a native St. Louisan, but you're not.
No. I grew up in Rockford, Illinois. I had never taken an art class. I wasn't an artist. I was a musician. Started out as a cellist. I was really a child prodigy. Started playing the cello at 2. Probably had ADD, where I was really too active, and they gave me something to do to keep me occupied. But by the time I was in high school, I was already an adult, and it wasn't important anymore. And so I went into sciences, and I was going to go into medicine. So I got a scholarship at Washington University in chemistry, and I thought, well, I'd go into medical illustrating. From the medical illustrating, that took me into advertising art down on Washington University, and my very first job out of school was architecture, as we mentioned that before.
Uh-huh. And so over the years here in St. Louis, I think you've taught art at quite a few different places over the years.
Yes. After being in advertising, I thought I better do something that was a little bit easier, so I went into teaching. I got a degree and a certificate in teaching, and I taught at Webster Groves High School for 28 years. Then after I retired, I went across the street, and I'm teaching at Webster University.
And you still do a weekly class of some sort, don't you?
Yes. On Wednesday nights, I have a class for anyone who wants to drop in. It's at the Green Door Gallery on 21 North Gore and Webster Groves, and it starts at 6 to 7:30, and anyone can drop in. I have all the materials. They can just enjoy an hour and a half of painting.
Your book is Once Upon a Time in St. Louis. You also have a section on restaurants, and what are some of your favorites there? You end with White Castle, of course.
White Castle was the first one I painted.
Oh, really?
The reason for that was because they were closing it down. They were going to tear it down because there were too many people that were just hanging out in the parking lot. So because I did such a good job on White Castle, the next one was, believe it or not, Coral Courts. Mm-hmm. Then from then on, I started painting anything that I knew would possibly be gone. And so I just went through, and restaurants have a big turnover. So.
Yeah, right. Well, what are some of your favorite restaurant paintings?
Possibly the Majestic. And the reason I like the Majestic is because the way I painted it is the reflection in their window, eating outside and then showing the table and then reflecting the people into the window. Very unique.
Then there are entertainment venues, and you depict such places as Gaslight Square and the North Grand Avenue, which is where we are right now, which we call these days Grand Center.
Right.
Talk about your work done in this area.
In this area? Well, there's always the Fox Theater. I enjoy doing the Fox. When I did the Fox Theater, I did two different paintings of it. And Mary Strauss has both of them, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
This is when she was renovating the building at that time.
What's your next project? Do you have one?
Yes, I'm going to do one on restaurants. I have maybe 30 restaurants in this book. Well, I've already painted about 120 restaurants. And I've been more or less making a list. This is difficult because I can't figure out how I'm going to do this. There's so many that are historical that are gone. I want to go all the way back to Tony Faust. I want to do the Pelican. Just a lot of restaurants that people still reminisce about. And then go all the way up to now, but the restaurant at least has to be around for 2 years, so I know it's pretty well established.
Then you're going to put those in piles and try to sort that
out? Probably. That's a good way of selecting.
Well, the book is Once Upon a Time in St. Louis, An Illustrated Trip Through the Past. Marilyn Bradley is the artist. It has text by David Bauer. And if you'd like more information about that, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and we'll have more information. And, of course, it's available right now at local bookstores and that sort of thing, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, on our website, we're going to have a link to an interview that you did with me recently at STL TV. It aired on KDNL Channel 30 just last Saturday. And we're going to have a link to that. And in that program, you brought some of your original artwork along, and we look at it and talk about it, and people might want to check that out. Marilyn Bradley, Once Upon a Time in St. Louis, an illustrated trip through the past. Really enjoy your work, and thank you for capturing our memories on paper.
Well, thank you very much for asking me.
Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he'll talk with Washington University Chancellor Mark Wrighton as we continue our summer education series. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer with assistance from Aaron Dorr and Anya O'Connor. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening.